Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Comedian Pete Lee's going to join us for a very rollicking conversation. Very funny. Also, news coming your way. First, there's Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers study the specific driving conditions, so you'll be ready for anything, even if it actually rains cats and dogs. Look, whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. We use them here. I have on my car. Brian talks to his guy, and he says, yeah, get the Trico. No matter what your driving habits, you'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. Trico, the future of wipers. Since 1917, over 100 years of excellence with Trico wiper blades. And to find the store nearest you and to see the latest offers they have whipped up for you, visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
I've decided that I am never going to argue with my girlfriend again. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a woman to argue for me. The next time my girlfriend's like, we need to talk, I'm going to be like, Lisa, you need to get over here. Oh, no. What's that, Lisa? You haven't eaten yet today? Perfect. Checkmate.
Pete Lee on the Adam Carolla Show.
The special is called Pete Lee, Tall, Dark, and Pleasant. It's available now on Showtime. It's a very funny special, so we're happy to welcome Pete Lee in studio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here. Yeah, it's Tall, Dark, and Pleasant. It's so funny. I read your book, or actually listened to it, In 50 Years We Might All Be Chicks.
Right.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I think I'm one of those chicks. I think I'm one of those guys that's a chick. I'm definitely tall, dark, and pleasant, but here's the difference between, I think, me and some of like the millennial Gen Z dudes. Like, I know that I'm sort of a guy chick and I have a sense of humor about it and I make fun of it. Whereas a lot of those guys, like, I was at a show the other night and this like hipster comic, he was like, you know, I can't even hang out with a lot of my guy friends because of all their toxic masculinity. And I literally went, ugh. I audibly went, ugh.
Right.
And everyone that he was trying to impress in the crowd also was like, ugh. Like all these male feminists and all these women that are like, you know, have signed on to this doctrine, they all were like, ugh, we don't like you. We want a guy that can swing a hammer, you know?
I'm wondering, like, who are we doing this for? Like, it cannot make women happy to have a guy who has no skills around the house. You know, if a gangbanger hits you up on the street, he's going to step behind you. If a car gets a flat, he doesn't know where the fucking jack stand is. Like, what?
What are you bringing to the table?
Why is that somehow? And also, like, who needs two of you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's two of you.
Yeah.
It's like, if you fucking are making ramen, you want someone to bring some beef to the party. Why do you want, more ramen?
Yeah.
Like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
What's advantageous about
it? By the way, lesbian couples and gay couples, one of them can do all these things. So don't use that as your excuse. Don't hide behind that.
I agree with that. And like, talk to any hot girl at a bar and who's going to be venting about her ex. It's never the ex that met all of her needs emotionally.
Right.
It's that asshole that, like, if he texted her in the middle of the conversation you're having with her, she would leave and go meet him.
Right.
Like, I think that there is being a desire expressed for the sensitive man that isn't actually what women want. And I've, like, in doing my stand-up, I've studied masculinity. I'm fascinated with it. I think there is true masculinity. I'm trying to be that. I'm a little bit of a pussy. I'm also, like, growing and, you know, and, but it's, that's why when I've been listening to your book, I love it.
Thanks.
Like, I love it so much. I love that you're speaking from a place that I'm like, I want to be that guy.
Like, well, I'm trying to think of, the problem is how I grew up, but then also sort of like what I know people are capable of and mm-hmm. what people can do. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, I crawled under buildings and dug footings with a coffee can when I was 23, you know. So it's like when I tell my nephew to go to Starbucks to make a run and he goes, it's too hot outside or something. I go, I know what you're I know what we're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Why? And I think you have to be in a position of knowing what stress, what real discomfort is, like what it yeah. could be. I appreciate the fuck out of air conditioning because I've had so many sleepless nights and tossing and turning mm-hmm. in the fan and jumping in the shower and jumping back on the bed. I love the shit out of air conditioning. My kids don't give two shits about air conditioning because that's just what
yeah.
is.
Yeah, there's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird. I'm 44. I definitely came from a generation that's similar. But like, I feel like I sort of have one foot in, one foot out. Like, I am sensitive. I'm on Zoloft. You know, like, I'm a part of that depression generation. But I also work construction for a summer, and I kickboxed, and I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, and I've taken a punch to the face. You know, so I feel like I understand both, you know, both worlds a
uniquely
little bit.
Qualified
uniquely,
to have this
yeah, to have this
perspective,
conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like also, but it's funny, you know, you went through what your dad was like, and then my dad was an interior decorator who was like, son, it's okay to cry. You can go to school and cry if you want.
What was your other dad like?
Yeah.
Did they have marriage back then, or was just a partner?
Domestic partnership.
No, well, here's a concept. Here's an interesting thought. I think we all appreciate this sort of Renaissance man, a general archetype, you know, like that would be good. Be good at this. Be good at that.
You're Eric Stromers.
Be diverse. Right. Just did my podcast.
With him. Oh, sorry.
No, but,
ballroom dance.
But all right. But what I'm saying is at some point we made this shift, and the shift for the males was sort of like, well, you don't need to repair a roof and do poetry. You need to do poetry and be able to make yourself a bracelet out of wooden beads. You know, and it's like, well, wait a minute. That's both sides. That's on the same side of the aisle as all the other. No, okay, well, then you could cook. It's like, no. You're supposed to break it up, not just have it all on one side. That's not diverse. Right. And I started noticing something about 20 years ago when I was working on The Man Show. I noticed guys talking in a way they never spoke before because this is when it started to seep in. Traditionally, if a guy was telling a story, let's say you're driving and there's a conflict and a confrontation and somebody cuts you off and there's a story there, right? For 10,000 years, it was, you know, I was riding my chariot or my horse and this other guy on a horse cut me off. So I fucking gave him one of these. And then he looked at me and I said, you want to go? And he said, fine. So I said, fucking bring it, dude. And there was that, you know, next thing you know, we're toga to toga and fists are flying. These guys started telling stories like somebody cut me off. I was freaked out, so I rolled my window up. I know eye contact. I don't want any situation. I didn't want any trouble. And they were bragging about it. Yeah. That's the part the part where if that had happened. Mm-hmm. And by the way, most of the stories you'd heard back in the day probably did go down that way, but they converted them into the macho story.
Of course.
The guy was too scared to get out of his car once I fucking showed him the guns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they started bragging about it. I thought, what is going on that we're and I started dealing with guys who are like, oh my God, don't even ask me to put a light bulb in. I don't even know what the fuck is going on. Don't even ask. You know,
and change a tire, please.
Why are they bragging about stuff they formerly did or should have done?
I have a theory about that too, because the way that men talk shit online, like in comments section, I'm like, oh, you've never taken a punch. Like
right.
you're typing like you've never been punched before. And I came from a generation where we got punched. Me and my brothers, we used to go fight the Blazers. There was three of us and there were eight Blazers and we would
Clyde
win.
Clyde Drexler, Cliff Robertson.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all the Blazers that Jordan beat, we also beat them.
Or maybe you were the Nehru Jackets up at against the Blazers. Yeah. It could have been a different kind of Blazer. So it's a Blazer family.
Blazer family. They lived between the woods of my house and their house, and we'd go meet in the woods and we'd fight. And it was something we looked forward to.
This is in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, yeah. And so, I mean, we basically would, like, the Blazers hated us. We hated the Blazers. My mom now works at a flower shop, and she's like, you know, Eric Blazer came in and he said really nice things about you. He's been watching your stand-up. I was like, yeah, I used to kick his ass.
Tell that motherfucker in my face.
Tell him I said hello. Oh, that candy ass is buying flowers, you know? But I think, like, I feel like I'm from a generation where I took a punch. And so many of these guys, I'm like, you don't realize that if you had that conversation in a bar, you would get your ass kicked. And that's the only reason why you're having that conversation. You would never disrespect somebody like that.
The virtual bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, people's version of I was in fear. I didn't feel safe around this person. I was assaulted. By the way, nothing rises to the level of assault. I mean, none of what they're talking about. The guy put his hand on my shoulder and pushed me toward the door or whatever. That's not assault.
Yeah.
You're fine. You shouldn't have been fear. This weird. It's weird, but it's also it's being driven by something. And most of what drives shit that guys do is to get laid. So there's a thought that I think we thought and maybe currently think that women want this shit and thus we're doing it. I don't know what motivates the guy beyond. I mean, ultimately, all roads lead to Pussyville, right? Like, it's just like, that's, we're motivated by that. Pussyville. Yeah.
Wait, was that the theme song to my sitcom?
That's right.
I think it was. Yeah, the other night I don't know, I was grouchy, whatever, and normally I'd be like, "Hey babe, I think we should get in the car now," or something, a statement like that. That's not mean. That's not pussy. It's neutral. But the other night I go, "Hey, get in the car." And she goes, "Oh my god, we're going to fuck when we get home."
Wow.
She was like, "I love the way that you just said, hey, get in the car." Mm. And I wasn't being mean by it, but she liked the assertiveness. Yeah. I think that it triggers something. Like, I do think that there's the feminine, there is the masculine. I think that, you know, being fair, knowing a lot of gay and lesbian couples, I think that it crosses gender boundaries, we could say. But there is a masculine role and a feminine role, and it's important.
You and I are about the same age. I'm wondering if you saw Swingers around the same time I did, because this is essentially the ethos of the thesis of the movie Swingers, which is Mikey wants to be the sensitive guy, and like getting all the girls. And Vince Vaughn, more or less rightly, is like, no, girls want a guy. Be a dude. Be
He's
a man.
Just the id.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm really happy in my current relationship is that she wants me to be more like that. Like, and when I say that, this is going to sound like a pussy thing to say, but I feel like she's given me permission to just be a man. And like she's not going to be triggered by it. She's not going to complain about it. There's not going to be a blog where it was like Pete told me get in the car and I felt abused and triggered and now he's canceled. And I like that. Like, it makes me feel like in my personal life, I can be the me that I am or that I should be.
Well, you brought up the word permission, and it's funny, right before you brought that down, I just wrote it down, which is I think you could kind of distill it down to this. There's this whole movement, it's currently going on, but it was really in full swing a few years ago, where it's like, if you would like to kiss your date out on the first date, you have to ask, to sort of ask permission. And guys go, oh, okay, that's what women want. But if you ever talk to a woman, they go, fuck that. Like, I would not want to be with the dude who's asking.
Yeah.
You're supposed to feel it out, and you're supposed to be sort of coached up and tuned in enough to understand when it's right and when it feels right or how the date is going or whatever. But permission, we're telling everyone to sort of ask everything and get everyone's approval on everything. I don't think women like that.
Wasn't there a school, wasn't there a college where you had to get written consent before sex?
Yes.
I mean, what a fucking,
sex
what
contract.
Drives you up faster
Chappelle's
than that?
Sex contract.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, there was a whole thing going down a few years ago where you had to get your lawyer involved, get things in
sign
triplicate.
Here, initial here.
That's right. Like a Derek Jeter level thing where he used to, like, when he'd take women back to his apartment or wherever he was at in Manhattan, he would actually have, like, the woman would sit down with a lawyer, be videotaped. I consent to whatever
really?
The hell happens.
That I kind of get, because he's a public figure, he's rich, he could be...
And there's probably an NDA,
his life
too.
Could fall apart, yeah. You know, with just, you know, a simple mistake.
Wait, isn't that how pornos start? Like with the 18 plus girls sitting there, yeah, I really want to be here.
Yeah. By the way, my girlfriend, every time I'm on a podcast, she sends me, oh shit, all right, this is a good one. So she sends me, she knows that my phone's going to light up. She knows that I'm going to see that it's Nicole, and she knows that I'm not going to be able to resist seeing it. So she sends me tits of some sort to distract me during the thing.
Nice.
And every podcast that I've been going on to promote Tall, Dark, and Pleasant, well, I'll show the picture, and she says that it's okay. But we try to write something back to her. Would you guys want to do
hers,
that?
Hers or randoms?
Let's say random for the sake of the show.
Well, these are her tits.
Oh, good. Okay.
These are her tits.
These are her tits. She's the coolest girl I've ever met in my life.
Well, by all means.
But she sent me.
By the way, hold on a second.
She sent me
when I was like 13. Somebody had a stepdad who would buy us beer and let him drink it in his van, and we'd go, "That guy's the coolest dude ever born." But then you get a little older, and you realize, I think he was just an alcoholic. He was unemployed, and I'm not saying that your girlfriend is that.
Yeah, maybe.
But there's ways you can interpret taking titty shots and sending them to folks doing podcasts.
Cool is cool.
Yeah, she's maybe this is going to be one of those things where like 3-4 years down the road when she breaks my heart, people will go, "Did you see signs?"
Yeah, this could be.
Did you see the signs of that?
This could be one of those.
She's a big reader. She also is a fan of yours. She was the one, I was like, yeah, I'm going on Adam Carolla's podcast. And she's like, well, have you read his books? I was like, have you read his books? She's like, I've read his books. And she was like, you got to start off with In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. And so we actually had a long drive to Platteville where I did the gig last weekend. And we listened to it on the drive. And we were howling. And at one point, so I haven't had... I don't know that I've had a cool girlfriend in a long time, but at one point in listening to your podcast, and I don't think it had anything to do with you, she had like kind of pre-planned on the drive that she was going to give me Roadhead. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, she was like, what are you going to tell Adam Carolla about the book? I'm like, I'm going to tell him that we put on his book and then I got my dick sucked. And he's my hero now.
Wow.
Yeah, so Roadhead.
Roadhead on I-90. Yeah.
Were you, while listening to the audiobook?
We shut it down.
That's for the best.
I got to say.
You don't want to get a boner every time you hear him talk.
Psychological.
It's going to be Pavlovian. Yeah. He's really like, and these fucking people. And I'm really like, oh, I'm hard. But she, yeah, so, but it was like a funny thing that I felt like that was a funny note to add to this. But yeah, she had leaned over to start the process, and I was like, we got to hit pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, you're right at the section where you're yelling about, like, you're giving it to the right and giving it to the left, and you're right in the middle of the left. And I was just like, this is too much. The arousal. And
it's confusing.
Also, there was a guy that came up behind us that was like riding my ass in a 3-lane highway. And we had to pause the whole situation because I got incensed. I was like, this guy's like trying to be a part of this.
Do you guys ever have that feeling? Like, I used to sometimes you'd get stoned back in the day.
Yeah.
And you'd be really stoned and you'd go, all right, I'm just going to go out of the house. I'm going to get a scoop of ice cream and I'm going to come home. And then you'd run into like your principal from junior high or something. And you're like, is this because I'm stoned that this is happening?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like sometimes, you know, it's not like Roadhead is something you do every 14 miles.
Yeah.
This is once every 5 years. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And you're getting some Roadhead and all of a sudden some guy's riding up the tailpipe and you're like, would he be doing this if I wasn't? Like,
what
cosmically, right. Who has brought this individual to my bumper?
Yeah, what is this? And then he also was driving an Impala. Like, I don't know if you're the same kind of guy I am, but I can tell the headlights of any make and model for whatever year. And I was like, that looks like a modern Impala, maybe a cop car.
Right.
I was like, I think there might be a cop tailing me that can see your head bobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taking me out of it. So like, I tried to slow down. He slowed down. Sped up. He sped up. It was, It was like the best thing combined with the worst thing all in one thing. And then she finally was like, is this not going to happen? And I was like, it's going to happen.
Right.
I was like, this is going to happen. I'm not going to. But isn't that funny? Like with I feel like with women, if like one little thing goes wrong, they're like, it's not happening. And with men, we're like, I can power through it.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like I've had friends that that have gone home with a monster. And I'm like, how did you make that happen boner wise? And they're like, I did it.
It was all
like they were proud that they did it.
Hey, I'm sorry. Speaking of the scenic route, are we going to see the titty pig?
Oh, yeah. We're going to see the titty pig. So she sent one.
Gina, how dare you?
Well, Brian passed me the note.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, he did. So this is the titty pig. So she does something that goes along with the theme of the show. I did the DC Improv podcast a few days ago. And here, I'm going to show that pic. And then I'm going to show this pic. So, all right. This makes really good podcasting if I'm doing this. So she always does something that's the theme of the podcast with tits.
This is a good woman.
She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing.
What is her profession?
She works in tech, and she's really good at her job. So she's not gonna. She works for OnlyFans. She works in tech.
I'll filibuster in here. First off, I like this gal.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sight unseen, because Roadhead takes a lot of trust.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because if you think about, you know, they do all those confidence building or team building things where the person stands right behind you and you lean back and all. That's a three.
Yeah.
But blowing a guy, you know, head under the dash, he's aggravated, Impala's up his ass.
Yeah.
We don't know if he's going to pull a groin or pull a calf muscle and plant his foot down on that, or maybe stroke out. You know what I mean?
Go like right just into the
dashboard. At the moment of.
Have you ever seen The World According to Garp?
That, right.
It goes both ways.
Right,
yeah,
right. But I'm saying, like, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
That is sort of the equivalent to climbing up to the top of the camper shell while grandpa drives the truck and going to bed.
It is.
It's trust.
It's a lot of trust. And so this is the one I was on the DC Improv. So she does the theme. So this is America.
Oh.
And that's her wearing a shirt. This is America.
Isn't underboob great?
Underboob
is
so
north
hot.
Of the border.
She's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. She's,
look at that.
Yeah, she is.
You're talking D cups there?
Double Ds, actually.
Yeah. Nice.
I did a sports podcast, so she did this one.
Oh, yeah.
So these are cleavage shots for people that want to be accurate.
She did send
no nip.
She did send a tit for this one, and so I did Nigel Barker's drinking podcast. She did that one.
Look at her. I like this gal.
She did the mini champagne bottles over the boobs.
The mini champagne bottles over the boobs.
Full size champagne bottles.
Yeah. For this podcast,
I think
because this is kind of going along with like the working class construction sort of thing. She sent this where she's wearing a flannel.
Mm.
Wow.
So
this is her homage to Corolla.
That's hot.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We approve.
She's the best. When I first met her, my friends, they were like, pump the brakes, dude. You're moving too fast with this one.
Lock it down.
Yeah. And then they met her and they're like, lock it down. If she dumps you, we're friends with her.
Let me ask.
Cut the brake lines.
Yeah.
Let me ask a little more about Roadhead.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing those beautiful images.
Yeah. I love that movie you did, by the way.
Roadhead.
Yeah.
Which, keep in mind, we still have to reply to her, and that's part of the game.
Mm. Does it lead to this, though? Like, if you got a gig in Phoenix and she's going with you and she's like, well, we leave Burbank Airport. And you're like, hey, we should drive. It's 14 hours to
Mississippi. But we'd get there in, like, less than an hour if we flew.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, Oregon is closer than you think.
I feel like it's actually farther away than you think. It's like a good two-hour flight.
Well,
California is a long coast.
By the time you park the car,
right,
you go through security.
That can take a while.
And that's like a 17-hour drive. Yeah. So it's kind of like a
even
push.
Out, I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just get this roll of paper towels, and I'll meet you in the car.
Okay.
The funny thing is that if I said to her, hey, yeah, I think we should drive, like, I think we should drive, she'd be like, oh, do you want Roadhead? Great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would probably actually be like, you know, I could suck your dick on the way to the airport, and then we could just fly there. And I'd be like, game on.
I got a fun little activity for you since you're such a young couple and vibrant and everything. You know, a lot of people have like the rattan sex swing with the hole in it and all
them,
that kind
of
stuff. It can be a little bit of a tell when the parents come to stay for the weekend and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? you, a lot of cars, a lot of SUVs that have the third row or like vans and stuff, you can pull the whole seat out.
Oh, yeah.
You can just take the whole row out and throw it in the entry hall of the house. What I'm saying is like every day could be roadhead for you. Pull out that third row, plant it in front of the TV set. None of the pressure of having to drive.
Get one of those Fisher-Price steering wheels.
Yeah, it's all the perks of roadhead, not looking for the man, radar detectors lit up like a Christmas tree, distractions abound. You know, you're watching Sports Center. You have the privacy and safety of your own home.
That's good.
This is brilliant, and I think she would be into it. Yeah, maybe it's like she just likes the feel of the bucket seat with her knees. I don't know.
In my world, you couldn't just sit down and get blown in the living room. You'd have to sit there. You'd have to get like in and out drive through. Mm-hmm. Like you just get that cardboard thing, put it on your lap, have a little conversation about the imaginary destination.
Really create the scene.
Yeah. Really make the scene.
Yeah. Maybe somehow like do like a screen recording of your GPS talking.
You know,
you can
do
the screen record on the iPhone.
Turn right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turn right. Turn left. And she'll be like, oh, you're really driving. You're doing it. You're, I could, I just got a Tesla. So, I could even record, I could audio record some of the like, boop, 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 when you're getting, like when a car's cutting you off,
right.
I can do that kind of stuff.
Very good,
I got a Tesla, a friend of mine basically gave me his extra Tesla. I'm the luckiest person in the world, but it's got a deep tint, and so for a long time she was like, I want to blow you in your Tesla. And I was like, that is the most romantic thing that I've ever heard. By the way, I think that there's men's romance, and I think there's women's romance. Like women's romance is like flowers and candy. Men's romance is just the dirtiest shit you could say to a guy. Like we went to Hawaii and I was already there before her.
I see that comment. You can drive to Hawaii.
I feel like there's a huge body of water between us and Hawaii.
No one does it, but it can be done.
Really? I've never seen a road between here and Maui.
I'm pretty sure. Let's just get in the car. Let me get the paper towel.
Okay.
Isn't there a ferry that goes to Hawaii?
I'm pretty sure. You got to drive to the ferry.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it might be 10 weeks, but I think if you know, we're going to be there for 3 days.
You stay in the car when you get on the ferry. You don't get out of the car.
Yeah, you're just living in your car for that 10 weeks to Hawaii. On your naval voyage to Hawaii.
So sorry, tint, roadhead, Tesla.
Men's romance. She was coming to Hawaii, and I was with a bunch of my friends because I was at a wedding there, and it was like a weekday wedding, and she couldn't go because of her job. And so I was about to go pick her up from the airport, and she sent me a text that said, "I can't wait to suck your dick on that island." And I showed it to my friends, and we were like a group of gals at brunch. They were like, like this is, I think so she's sweet. The one. They hadn't met her yet. They're like, we can't wait to meet her. And I'm like fanning myself, like, I know she's that great. And but that's like for any of the women listening, like if you're wondering what to do, so many of my friends that are female are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what he's interested in. Just be as dirty and nasty as possible. Mm. Do the thing that society and all of your friends are telling you not to do right now. And this is an asterisk if the guy is good and he's deserving,
right,
and he will, you know, you feel safe with him and yada, yada, yada. But like, but just say the nastiest shit to him and he will be like, he'll send you a ring emoji back. That's what I did. I literally sent her a ring emoji and my friends were like, whoa, that's serious. I think that was a good move.
I like that all your friends are so husky with their voice. You know, they're all smokers. Yeah, it's a good move.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Tim Allen from 1989.
Yeah, my friend Nico, he actually is the one that I was in Hawaii for his wedding, and he, it's funny. He looks like a surf Viking. We all live on the ocean in this community in the Palisades, and we all go surf together. And he was marrying a gal who is from Hawaii. And he's one of those guys that like wears like male yoga pants, not the like female yoga pants, but like, you know, the ones where they're like kind of billowy and flowery.
Yeah.
And so
when a harem-y.
Yeah, a little harem-y, like a little man bun kind of a thing. And when I first started talking to him and his wife in my neighborhood, I was like, oh no, like I got to be real careful when I talk. I didn't know if I said the wrong gender pronoun, if I like they were going to put me on camera and cancel me kind of a thing. And then they told me that they were Trump supporters. And I was like, oh, I didn't vote for him, but I fucking love that you guys are that, because now I don't have to watch my mouth around you. Now I don't have to be careful around you. Like, I was way happier that they were super right wing than they were super left wing.
Because it's just blowing my mind.
It's just better to have a drink with.
Man bun, hammer pants, Trump supporter.
Yeah, the man's an enigma.
Hard math.
He is an enigma. And his wife is also very breezy and carefree, like California hippie Trump supporters. I couldn't have been more. I remember they were like, come over for dinner. And I went over for dinner and I was like, what is this dinner going to be? And I was like, all right, just prepare to eat vegan and shit your pants in the middle of dinner because it's got way too much fiber for any meal. Mm-hmm. And then they just like were cooking steaks. And then I started having a beer with him. He started talking about like what he was into and politics. And normally you don't want people to talk politics at the dinner table. I was like so relieved.
Wow.
Maybe it's just me, but I feel like steak was such a rarity when I was growing up. Now I have a horrible family and I understand all that. But still, even with other families, mm-hmm. it was like steak night. It was a thing.
Yeah, it's a big ticket
just
item.
Even beef was like a thing. Doesn't seem to be a thing anymore. Everyone's just having it for lunch.
And you know what's counterintuitive about that? The quality has gone up with the frequency. You're like, oh, maybe the quality goes down, more people can access it. No. There's like Snickerer Farms and every steak you order in the mail, and it's amazing.
Yeah, what's the cube, the old kind of cube kind that your mom just throws in with potatoes and carrots?
Cube steak.
Is that what it is?
I think there is a thing called cube steak.
Yeah, between that and ground beef.
That was like shank
for
making stew. Like, you can eat this, but it has to boil. Oil and broth for 21 hours.
Check with
then
us tomorrow.
Maybe you can penetrate it with one of your incisors.
That's what we had.
That's how it worked.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing, if something was rare, it was uneatable. Unedible.
And when you're at the steakhouse and they have the steak with the chart of the cow where all the cuts come from, tenderloin, whatever, there's no part of it that says cube. So it's like a mystery. You're like, is this leg meat? I have no idea what this is.
All right. Well, let's come up with a reply for your girl.
I'll
get my ex chair. I'll buy you guys a couple of seconds with that. Now, so the parameters of the reply. Sorry. We've got a picture, beautiful, cleavage. Lumberjack shirt, flannel shirt on.
Flannel shirt, construction. Her hand is a little bit down in this area.
In the groin area.
Laying in bed.
I've got wood.
I've got wood.
Yeah. That's
like
good.
That.
Starting spot.
Lumber.
Mm-hmm. We can beat that.
It's a lumber yard over here.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll think for a minute.
Yeah, we can spitball.
All right. First, I'll tell you about X-Chair. If you've ever been behind the wheel of a high-performance sports car, you know you never want to go with the regular car ever again, and that's the way I feel about the X-Chair, my X-Chair. That's so nice. I, by the way, bought an X-Chair before this campaign. I've had an X-Chair for years. You can so much better than your current office chair, because can your current office chair give you a massage or heat or cool you down? X-Chair can with the LMX message. Massage. LMX massage and temperature regulation exclusively designed for X-Chair. Plus, the customized support of X-Chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar or DVL. Try X-Chair and do it for yourself risk-free 30 days. Once you realize how much better your chair is, your X-Chair, you'll never go back. It's X-Chair, right, Dawson?
Go to xchairadam.com now. That's the letter X, chair, ADAM.com. For $100 off your order, X-Chair is a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. xchairadam.com.
All right, so we got the tit shot.
Mm-hmm. That's the best voice I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
It is.
I feel like I could be myself and have that voice. I could be like, I just want to snuggle tonight, you know? And like, wow. Did you come out as a baby and were you like, wow?
Yeah.
I forgot kids made that sound.
Yeah.
I thought it was just Lucille Ball. Wouldn't she do that?
She would. Winky. Goo goo gaga.
Imagine pitching that like in today's sitcom world. Like, hey, wife. Yeah. You don't get your way. Like, let's say you burned your husband's waffles. Now you just break down with baby wah voice.
Why would I do that? I mean,
because you're a woman.
But if I burned his waffles, it's probably because he did something problematic.
Now he works.
Okay.
And brings home the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You fry it up in the pan.
Do I work? I work
no.
from home.
you get up early. Okay. You have separate beds because you don't want to disturb him when you're getting up. He's at the club. He's at the Copa playing the conga drum.
Oh.
He comes home late.
Yeah.
He gets up. He wants his waffles. You burnt the waffles, and you're very upset, and you break down and cry and make a wah noise.
Like an actual
a baby.
Infant?
Yeah, because you're so upset because this is your everything, and you burnt his waffles.
I can't just apologize and just start a new mix of
Well,
batter?
If you want to taste the back of his hand.
I do not.
So well, as then a, get
an,
to crying.
Okay, so as an adult woman, burn the waffles. Whoops, I burned.
Yeah, that's good.
Is it like that?
Well, you're at about 14 months. I'd like you more about 9 months.
Okay. Mix that or burn the waffles.
Yeah, that's good.
That was great.
Very upset.
This is like a
You did bring it down 5 months.
I tried.
That was sweet.
That was really great. I feel like if that was a modern day sitcom, they would focus group it and they would be like, they found that Lucy was sort of otherizing herself by doing that.
She was being ableist and ageist.
Yes, exactly. Well, and we can't do that.
It's kind of interesting in that from a societal standpoint, you know, they couldn't say the word pregnant.
Right.
They couldn't sleep in the same bed. Like, there's a whole bunch of shit they couldn't do back then. And now there's a whole bunch of shit you can't do now that they could have done then.
Right.
They could smoke in their apartment. You couldn't. There's more
say,
shit
yep.
you can't. Like, we make fucking fun of them to no end. Like, oh, my God, two beds. They're going to be, future generations are making much more fun of us for not being able to do anything on sitcom.
Here's the trade. You have to say with child, but while you're super pregnant, you can have martini and two cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We weren't, in 2022, they weren't allowed to say husband.
Right.
That was a really bad word.
Well, again, we're always gleeful and we dismissive. We go, oh, those people. Like, look at them. How
so
stupid
archaic.
Were they?
Yeah.
Our grandparents were fucking dumb. Oh, believe me. You know how much of that shit we're going to get with birthing person and whatever, one with fallopian tubing, like these distinctions for women. We will be nonstop ridiculed by future generations.
Yeah, and I grew up with a mom who was heavily involved in the feminist movement, and so I grew up with that dad and then a heavily involved feminist mom. So my mom was having me read like feminist literature and all that kind of stuff since I was a little kid. So all these debates that we're having in society that are kind of annoying to us, I was having those on the way to school as a kid.
Wow.
And so like I saw this coming. Like I just didn't know that it would really be as widespread as it is. But funny fact, my mom actually went to work for Gloria Steinem when she was in Wisconsin. And I went and worked with her. And my mom is no longer something that she categorizes as a feminist. My mom got into an argument with Gloria Steinem right in front of me. And she quit. And she's like, look, you're this lead of the women's movement, but you're treating all the women that are working for you this whole month like shit.
Oh, wow.
Like you're no different than a male boss. And also, you're nothing but an ambulance chasing lawyer who is out for your own self-promotion. You don't really give a shit about the women's movement. You want to popularize the brand of Gloria Steinem. And that's what we're here for. And so my mom became a little bit disenfranchised with the feminist movement. And she was like, I want things to be better for women. But she also was like, I want it to be better in a more logical way. And I want it to be, and I see a lot of this.
You're privy to this? You're present?
Oh, I was standing right there with my mom. And my mom is an introvert. So for my mom to tell off Gloria Steinem, it had to be very egregious.
In a thick Wisconsin accent?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Gloria, you know, you're no better than the men, than a male boss. But that was actually a great turning point in my life because the debates got better or the conversations got better on the way to school because my mom wasn't kind of just preaching from
propaganda
from this doctrine.
Yeah.
It was much more logical. Still, you know, I mean, we can all say that things have been fucked up for women for a long time and things need to be better for women. And I think men can be better. But that being said, I don't know that the current doctrine is necessarily the thing that's going to solve it. And I also – like I see pictures on social media all the time of that bitch Gloria Steinem. And I still think that she's out for herself. Like my friend Amy Schumer is in like Instagram pictures posing with her. And I'm like, they're both grandstanding right now. You know, like it just is I don't know. I think
– I relate because my mom tore Rosa Parks a new asshole when I was 9 and I was there. And it was a lot of thematically. There were some subtle differences, but
this
a lot
is a
of them.
Recovered memory. We've never heard this before.
Yeah, not talked about it before.
This wasn't in the book, even in the riffs.
Well, Mom always said, you know, you have to forget we had this conversation. I want you to tell her that you've been talking to me about your intimate life, and I just want to know if it's cool if I get a lift to the airport.
All right.
Well said.
All right. We'll text that, Pete Lee. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and do the news with Gina and Pete and Bald right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
So I think you guys got caught up on what's going on with R. Kelly yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about it.
Well,
there was you know, I like to watch TMZ.
Do you?
I don't know if you can find this clip, Max Pattisari, but they interviewed some like congressman outside of Congress, I guess, who's walking like through the parking lot. And they're like, how about the R. Kelly situation? Mm-hmm. And he was like, one of my bills was the second chance bills, and everyone needs a chance. And it was like this weird defense of R. Kelly, just a weird look.
I thought it was a pastor, but it could be a congressman. I think you might be right.
He was like kind of elderly and black.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that'll get you into the pasture department, like if your brain like kind of black.
Reverend Warnock, he's a congressman and a reverend.
Yeah, could have been both. Oh, Congressman Danny Davis. He was a wrestler?
No.
He was offering, I don't know if he's a congressman or not, but
representative.
But he was offering a kind of half-hearted, you know, an attempt at, you know, let's not judge.
Hey, come on.
Yeah.
He was sort of equating him to a gangbanger who got into some scrapes with the law at 14. Now wants to work at the Homeboys Bakery at LAX, you know, and like, give him a chance to turn over a new leaf. You know?
A quote shot at redemption.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it that guy?
Yes. Rep Danny Davis.
Dangerous Danny Davis.
Says R. Kelly deserves second chance and shot at redemption. So, yeah, R. Kelly was.
First off. We can all agree that there's a spectrum of criminals, and on one end, you got the guy who grew up with the deadbeat dad on the wrong side of the tracks and got into trouble early on, and then on the other side, you have escaped Nazi war criminals. you know what I mean? And everyone kind of lands somewhere in between.
I think so.
But I'm going to say that R. Kelly's closer to one of the boys from Brazil than he is to the kid who grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, and I'm saying you must have more nuance when you speak publicly.
Yes.
Like, I'm all for everyone is for second chances, but not for escaped Nazi war criminals and beyond, right?
Yeah, the old canned, we need to have forgiveness for the rehabilitated speech does not apply to this.
Not this time.
No.
Right.
Yeah, and don't forget about Aaliyah. Remember when it came out that, I'm looking at this right now, court records show that Aaliyah and Kelly were married in an illegal ceremony in 1994 when she was 15 and Kelly was 27, and I feel like they maybe fudged some of her numbers so they could get married. So he was found guilty on 9 federal counts, including racketeering, sex crimes, kidnapping, obstruction of justice, human trafficking, and he still faces federal charges of child pornography, obstruction in Chicago, and the same charges on the state level in Minnesota.
I can play the
Here's
clip
Davis.
Of it.
So now with when his sentence is finished, would he be welcome back in Chicago in your eyes?
Well, let me tell you, as an artist, one who's gifted and is gifted, I think he'll be welcome back into Chicago as a person who can be redeemed. You know, I'm a big believer in what is called second chances.
Okay.
And I actually have a bill that we got passed called the Second Chance Act. which gives individuals the opportunities to be redeemed and to redeem themselves. So it really will all depend upon him.
So one last thing. So while he...
This is not the hill you want to die on.
I love when people are baiting people, but they're acting interested. Yeah. Okay. So
tell me more about that opinion that's wrong.
All right. So it's good to have sex with a 13-year-old, but okay.
Yeah. Well, no, we can all agree.
Yeah.
You know how he answered that question? He answered the question like he didn't listen to the question, and then he kind of caught the last second of it, and he didn't even... It sounded like he didn't even realize that he was talking about R. Kelly, and then he wanted to talk about his bill about second chances, and maybe they even showed it to him, and he was like, oh, that was about R. Kelly? Oh, God.
Shit. It is shocking how many of our public officials all over the country, local, state, federal, just cannot speak extemporaneously.
Well, I was about to bring this up, which is there's two ages you get to as a man.
There are people don't want them talking like without like, you know, a script.
Well, if you play, let's play it again just for a second. It's because not only is it the actual verbiage chosen, but the physical speaking seemed a little difficult as well.
Gone are the days of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Right.
So it was a little strained.
There's two things. I'll play 20 seconds of this and then we'll...
So now with when his sentence is finished, would he be welcome back in Chicago in your eyes?
Well, let me tell you, as an artist, one who's gifted and is gifted, I think he'll be welcomed back into Chicago as a person.
All right. Here's my point. Here's the point I'm making. At a certain point when you're a dude, you start to realize that you're older than the cops who pull you over, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Some 26-year-old going, okay, what I need you to do for me right now is go ahead and step around. And you're like, I'm so much fucking older than you. It's weird when you're older than the cops.
Right.
And now, smarter than the politicians.
Yeah.
Like, if this guy said, I'm applying for a job to drive the tram from the hotel to LAX and back, I'd go, I just don't think you're up to.
Yeah.
We're gonna go a different way. There's many stops. There's Southwest and Delta. They're not the same place.
Yeah.
You have to apply the brake. Then it's
memorize
with the accelerator.
Terminals.
There's the incoming and the outgoing departing. Like, right. I just don't feel like you're up to this challenge.
Getting the bags on the rack.
And you're allowed to say you don't know. Like, who knows? I have no idea. We'll see what happens.
Would you like to take a crack at his age?
I 127.
You're close.
Yeah. I have a lot of gray hair, so I don't mean to make fun of his gray hair, but his eyebrows were like patchy. They were like public golf course grass.
That's right.
Eyebrows.
He is 80 years young.
All right. Well, also, we do want to live in a world where you go like, well, look, you're 72. You can't fly a commercial airliner anymore. And you go, why not? I'm fine. And they go, yeah, but you're 72.
Like,
we just can't.
Yeah.
We can't have you do that anymore. We can get to that with politics, too, at a certain point.
Wasn't Strom Thurmond like 112?
Yeah. And he was like, well, also the thing about the 112-year-old politicians we used to have is like, there's pictures of him tackling black people trying to use the white person's drinking fountain. Like,
right.
If you were prominent in the 40s and the 50s, not going to age well.
Yeah
not going to age well at all. That guy did not age well. He's saying four words per minute. Could you imagine even if I told the blowjob story, like, and I was like, my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Blew me. You'd be like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the story.
Or speaks
up.
Faster.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's grabbing the headline about this today is at least one person besides Danny Davis is on R. Kelly's side. Please strap in.
Oh.
You're going to be shocked.
All right. Felicia Rashad.
Scott Baio.
I just feel like she was a big Cosby supporter.
She was.
Let's be consistent, Felicia.
Very close. Go one step further.
James Woods.
Into the mix.
Uh-huh.
Rose McGowan.
Bill Cosby.
Right there, right there.
He recently...
So close.
Yeah, he says the singer got a bad deal. He got railroaded. Cosby spokesperson Andrew Wyatt was asked what his client's reaction was and about being convicted on all nine counts. He said the guy was railroaded. He blames the legal eagle Gloria Allred and systemic racism. Allred represented the alleged victims in both the Cosby and Kelly cases. And yeah, Kelly's facing 10 years to life when he gets sentenced in May.
I have to assume the victims were black. It's hard to
have you. Did you watch the documentary?
No.
It is bizarre. It is all these women who are like kind of a harem and like super brainwashed and like, well, it's very cultish. Like they won't. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all black from what I remember.
They were. And he also would like basically get them this town home or like the recording studio that he was recording in. And like he, while he's recording all of his albums, he would just kind of have a fuck room and there'd be an underage girl in there. And he also really would, his people really wouldn't let her leave or come and go.
But also so she was not allowed to have any contact with her family.
Not, like no cell phones. Yeah. No, it was, yeah, I mean, it's
it
like
was
a
cheater ask.
Do they age out like Menudo?
I mean, let's say what it was.
Yeah. It's been said many times.
He's next.
Yeah, so oh, God. Cosby is standing by his man.
Yeah, you can't just take a man's career and give it a sleeping pill, all right? That's Bill Cosby.
I think it's more the enemy of my enemy is my friend. He's what is, not a Gloria Allred fan.
Weird that he's chiming in at all, right?
Lilo. I mean, is it? Isn't this the Cosby we'll remember now?
Well, as we previously discussed, he started talking a lot about black youth, and then Hannibal Buress got hold and got onto someone's radar. You know, we don't realize how much of life is just getting onto someone's radar, right. And then once you get onto someone's radar, now that's it. I mean, there's a governmental version of this. It's like
there's an airline version and a flight attendant version.
Yeah, look, Tinhorn Flats is closed down because they got onto the Burbank City Council's fucking radar. Not that they didn't do anything dangerous or illegal or anything. They just got onto the radar, and it's like, all right, fuck you. We're gonna fuck with these people. And I'm saying to Bill, let's stay off the radar. That's all.
Hello.
Yeah.
What does the first paragraph of Bill Cosby's obituary look like now?
As opposed to 15 years ago? Like Weinstein, the disgraced mogul, the disgraced comedian.
The one celebrated.
Right.
Was laid to rest, ironically.
Let's go the other direction and talk about someone we haven't talked about in the news for a while, Miss Greta Thunberg. Mm. She has given another speech that is just making waves all over social media. You know, she's a Swedish activist. She's a young teenager.
To weave an aesthetic into this.
Uh-oh.
But if you catch girls at 16, some women you catch at 16, you go, oh, she's going right to Hottsville. Like, I know she's got a fucking one-way ticket. She had her passport stamped. Fucking
do not
chick.
Pass go.
We don't all agree with
never,
this.
There's not enough booze or cigarettes or fast food to get her below an 8 for another 25 years.
Sure.
Like, there's those. And then there's the other ones, which is like, you better fucking hit the books, baby. No professional comedian is going to want you to blow him in a car. But once in a while, you get the ones that could go. They're like fork in the road.
Yeah.
Like
I think she's worried about it.
She could end up being a model, or she could take some kind of turn, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, since the aesthetic is obviously the most important part.
Yeah. Jury's
not,
out.
Not the words.
Yeah. Not her thoughts and her actions and deeds. Not only that.
No.
The fact that she like came from, you know, Sweden to New York on like a zero carbon boat.
She came on a net filled with coconuts.
Right.
She floated here. Right. It's zero carbon.
Yes.
That's how Pepillon got off the
that's
island.
Right. You are going to see a picture of her. She looks, I mean, she truly looks like 12 or 13. She's 18.
Now, R. Kelly should have worked this angle. Right. Find the ones that are technically 18, but look.
The perverted justice decoys on To Catch a Predator.
Yeah, yes. Are there not plenty of those?
Yeah.
By the way, that's the... I mean, look, your girlfriend's fine, but the boyfriend of the perverted justice chick who's playing the 13-year-old but is really 23, that's a sweet gig. Yeah. That's a good get.
That's a very good get.
You could do the role-playing where you just stand outside the bedroom and be like, hold on, let me get some sweet tea and Toll House cookies. All right. Let me park the van.
So
you know what I mean?
Says hot chick 69.
That's right.
Did you bring the pizza?
I'm on my AOL Messenger sending this to you. So wait, we're doing the thing that, remember, I like, this is my reference point. Maybe this is going to show my age, but like, I remember when the Olsen twins turned 18 and everybody freaked out because they were little girls and then now they were hot chicks and sexualized and whatever. So are we, is that what's happening right now? Is this the story with Greta Thunberg?
I don't think
she's got more words.
I don't think
yeah,
so.
She's I don't got think more so. Words.
She's not a Biden fan. I don't, or maybe it's
no,
this whole
she's
country.
She's lumping them all in together. She mocked all world leaders, including Biden and Boris Johnson, at a youth climate summit in Milan on Tuesday, saying the last 30 years of climate action have been amounted to blah, 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 and she has more words on that. She imitated the leaders. She repeated their commonly used expressions. She shat all over them.
Doing material.
Here's a clip, and it's, I mean, it was long, so I just cut it down to about a minute. That's not her.
That's different.
This is her speech after she talks about how, you know, she said, what do you think of when you think of, you know, green, whatever? I think of jobs. You know, let's talk about green jobs. Let's talk about whatever. And then she goes
on to say. She got off-ramped her.
Yeah.
We must find a smooth transition towards a low-carbon economy. There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Hold for pause.
This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny-hugging or blah, blah, blah. Build back better. Blah, blah, blah. Green economy. Blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear from our so-called leaders. Words. Words that sound great, but so far has led to no action. Our hopes and dreams drown in their empty words and promises. Of course, we need constructive dialogue, but they've now had 30 years of blah, 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 and where has that led
us? Oh, my God. Do not let her deliver my eulogy. Red turn signals, blah, 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 blah. Red arrows, blah, blah, blah. Loud tech music and steakhouses, blah, blah, blah. Where's the lemon and lime in first class? Blah, blah, blah. The worst. Pete Lee got Roadhead. Blah, blah, blah. That'd be the worst fucking eulogy ever. I like race cars. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God.
Anyway, he'll be missed.
Apparently, my vegan diet didn't give me enough nutrition to make me tall as an 18-year-old. Blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. Jury's still out aesthetically with her.
She's, I know. That is the lead. Yeah. But the thing about her is you got to respect it. She's not pandering to any political group. She just hates the old guard.
God, I couldn't. You guys like remember when you were a kid and there's like that one religious family and you fucking one. I come from fucking pagans, you know, and I was always scared I was going to eat dinner and someone would go like, would you like some? And I'd go like, this is great fucking chicken, Mrs. Grinch. Oh shit. Oh fuck. Oh god damn it. And I have to run out of the house because I'm so scared I was going to fucking have my shirt untucked or use the Lord's name in vain.
Right. Yeah.
Could you imagine being like her roommate in college and like you just opened a fucking Snickers bar and you're holding the wrapper and you're like, you look at her and it's like, I'm going to walk it down to the landfill or...
Do you know how many years it would take to make that into compost?
Grant, I'm just going to eat the wrapper. Is that?
Oh, sure. Eat the wrapper because we all need to excrete more plastic into the water. Blah, blah, blah.
I know you saw me drive the other day.
I was meaning to bring that up to you.
I should have walked. I feel horrible.
I should have walked. Blah, blah, blah.
This water bottle I've had since I was 14. I know.
Do you
looks
know
newish.
How much BPA has seeped into that water? Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to eat some sod. For dinner, would you like
would take
some?
The sod from the earth. It so richly needs that to grow plants. Blah, blah, your empty promises, blah.
I heard that you found a Slim Jim wrapper next to my futon. I want to assure you, that was planted. There's no possible way that I purchased that.
You put another human being in this room, the precious air that we need just the two of us to suck up our air and plant us, blah, blah.
I have to take, look, I am going to take a shower, but I haven't taken a shower in 26 days, okay?
Oh,
I just want
sure,
you to think
you
I'm taking showers.
Ivory Tower, time taking showers every 20 days, blah, blah.
Just time me on your phone. I won't be in there longer than 30 seconds. I promise.
I will time you by the sun, blah.
And scene. Yeah.
So we'll
it'd be a lot of fucking pressure being around her, right? Would you be
imagine?
You'd be self-conscious about opening things or eating things or like suggesting
turning a light on?
Turning a light on?
Yeah, you'd eat a Snickers and you'd be like, she'd be like, well, actually, the company behind Snickers gives money to warlords,
right?
And they're the worst. And
yes.
You'd be like, I didn't know that. I just like Snickers. Like,
yeah.
Like by the way, you nailed that impression.
Oh,
that was
awesome. Incredible.
Thank you.
It took you three tries to do the Lucy, but that was like. That was just one
take.
Thank
you. I just tried my best. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Also, there was talk of I don't know what her status is, you know, behaviorally or mentally, but I'm glad we have her. She's fun.
Well, we're in a world where everyone is now on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I think that's a real spectrum case there. I feel like there is some spectrum there.
She does strike me as like, you know, to your point, but like you go, I appreciate all the things that she's doing. I appreciate all of her ideas, but she does look like somebody who would be zero fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
Just no fun. Oh,
net zero carbon.
Yeah.
Like,
zero fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even her family, they're like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Oh, is no fun Greta coming?
Oh, my God.
Like, she just looks like she's no fun.
Could you, her showing up. I mean, that would be Thanksgiving meal destroyed with Greta, right? You'd be
what
scared.
What are you allowed to have?
Oh, you'd have to eat with your hands.
Yeah.
What could you eat?
You would have to eat before you went to Thanksgiving.
It's like a Thanksgiving forage.
Right.
You can't pre-cook a turkey.
And it'd be a constant thing where, like, if you went to McDonald's, you'd have to fucking gargle and rinse before she came back.
You
she could smell the quarter pounder, quarter pounder on your breath. You know
An
what I mean?
Equal opportunity shit giver. Her parents aren't safe. Like, no, she doesn't show grace to anyone. You know,
right? Mm-hmm.
All right,
yeah.
We'll keep an eye on her. Would you like one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, she probably like set up a giant countdown to destruction Earth's calendar, like a big digital monitor in the living room. Like every morning you just walk in and go, I have 9 years, 4 months, and 27 days.
Get cracking.
You know how every sitcom character speaks from their point of view? Like on Friends, Chandler was like insecure, so he was funny, and Monica was OCD, and like, you know, Joey would be like, a sandwich. Like, I think Greta would actually be a great sitcom character, just the one that's no fun, but like extremely smart. Smart
Debbie
with
Downer.
Everything.
Yeah, especially Debbie Downer brought to life.
Debbie Downer brought to life. Yeah.
Right.
All right, one more.
All right. Well, I hope we didn't talk about this while I was gone, because I have a lot of thoughts about this guy. The owner of the LA Clippers, Steve Ballmer, you're familiar?
I missed the last owner.
Well, he happens to be worth about $100 billion and is building a new arena in LA for the team. And along the stuff that he really
Staples
wants to.
Staples Center is 19 years old.
No, he has no. That will never do, because he has new plans, like a contactless concession stand where he wants it to feel like you're going into your kitchen and just grabbing stuff. He has this obsession with toilets and is doing his best to revolutionize the bathroom experience. And that is getting all of his attention. He doesn't want lines in bathrooms. He wants fans to get in and out. He doesn't want to miss any of the game. So he's putting one toilet for every 27 seats in the upper deck. And apparently that's a lot.
Upper
he
deck.
Said that'll be, yep. There'll be about 1,500 toilets in all. And like, he loves toilet talk. Here he is talking to a crowd about this vision.
What we found in there is we can get you in and out, and you're not even going to have to.
We'll play it again. We'll heat it up a little.
And what we found in there is we can get you in and out, and you're not even going to have to hustle around. Like our guys do, like Terrence does, like Harry Wood, like Paul Wood and Kawhi. You don't have to hustle. You walk, you take care of your business, you come back, and you do it in a timeout. We think we've got that. You never know till it's real. But I can tell you, the architect said we're putting in a whole lot more toilets than anybody else in the NBA.
Hilarious.
Can I say this?
He's really excited.
I don't think there shouldn't be, in the men's room, there should be no toilets. That's only there for throwing up. You shouldn't be able to take a shit in an NBA game.
Okay.
Yeah, the stalls.
Yeah, but with
have
the
a
stuff
urinal,
they
have
sell
a
and all the beer, what are you going to do?
Well, here's what I'm saying. I will excuse people taking a shit at work if they had to get up in the morning, they have their cup of coffee, and they hustle out of the house, mm-hmm. and then you got an offload.
Right.
Those games start at 7 at night, yeah. 6 at night. You got to fucking work that one out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean,
see.
We get on a schedule. I don't know what constitution schedule you guys are on, but I don't do a lot of random shitting at like 6:47 at night.
Right.
You know what
very
I mean?
Rare.
Like, fucking
something's
work it
wrong.
Out. Evacuate. Have your Starbucks. Have your breakfast burrito. Right. Evacuate the system. If you want to top off the commode at 1 in the afternoon, fine. But you don't, or you could flush the first time.
Oh,
whatever tickles your fancy.
I would appreciate if you didn't
don't
flush.
Come in and shit up our stadium.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? I'm with you with all of the pros, the Clippers, the Lakers. The only exception, college. Because those games start at noon.
You're eating brats at 9 a.m.
Yeah, you're eating fucking ribs at 9:30 in the morning.
I will make an exception for that.
You can see your way to make an exception.
I cannot tell you. I've been spending a lot of time in airports, and it's like my batting average, like I feel I was walking into an airport at LAX and a guy who worked there stopped me and said, excuse me, Mr. Grohl, no one's shitting in there, so we'll just have to wait. And
oh,
I had to stand out and wait until they found someone who could come in and shit the place up because, I don't know if you knew the protocol.
It's
a COVID thing. But the point is there's constantly someone fucking pinching a loaf. And you don't really, I've never really thought about this, but let's just drill down on this. When you go into the smallish airport bathroom, sometimes at Burbank Airport or something like that, you're taking a piss at one of the stalls. You're only 27 inches away from the guy who's literally taking a mammoth dump. Would it ever be acceptable for you to stand in your own bathroom? Like, well, I'm at the sink and a stranger shitting up the commode, but we're all 41 inches away. So I don't see any problem with this. It's fucking devastating.
The thin doors, all this separates you.
No insulation.
No,
just
God,
the sheet metal.
You see the shoes.
Veneer.
Yeah.
See the guy's shoes. Try to guess what he does for a living. Wingtips. That guy's a salesman. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of proximity to strangers fucking shitting, and we're just kind of walking the other way.
We go where we're used to it. Way. And nowadays, like in COVID, nothing shows you the ineffectiveness of masks more than that giant shit. Because you're like, this will protect me from everything. My N95.
Right.
And then you're like, oh no, all of the shit is now in my mask.
I know everything that guy ate for dinner.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
You know I could suck your dick on the way to the airport.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, last but not least, there's Tommy John. Fall, chaos in your pants, overheating 1 second, freezing the next. Be ready for anything with underwear that handles everything. It's Tommy John. It was 110 degrees last week. This week started with 65 degrees out there. That's 40 degrees, man, and that's why you need your Tommy John. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 16 million pairs sold. This fall, upgrade what's underneath. And by the way, get the luxuriously soft loungewear. Looks good enough to wear anywhere. Feels good to wear in bed, especially. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. Right, Dawson?
Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
The stand-up special, which is very funny, Pete Lee, Tall, Dark, and Pleasant's available now on Showtime. Also, dates coming up, Des Moines, Iowa, Funny Bone, also Pittsburgh, PA, The Improv as well. Go to his website, PeteLee.net, and find out all the updates on the engagements.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Tip of the cap to your gal. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Pete Lee and Gina Grad and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
I can't wait to suck your dick on that island.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening, Bald Brian on the film, Bald the rest of us on the water cooler, and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.